GP there. And that is the voices of Binka and Moses, as promised, joining me here on The Blueprint. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Enjoying playing this album on the show. It's pure fire you've got going on here.
Thank you.
Let's first talk about the vernacular that comes with it. I love it because, I mean, you guys are clearly got a great rapport. You've come in the studio here. We're talking about Stormzy and we're talking about various mans them and cats.
kebabs named after people.
Yeah, The album is Dem Ones, yes. And that was Man Like GP. Mm-hmm. And you clearly got a thread going through the vernacular here. Who is Man Like GP? Is that Giles Peterson?
That is.
It is Giles Peterson.
That is Giles.
We would have given you a shout out on the album, but we didn't know you at the time, no. So, you know.
Man Like CP for the next
Yeah,
that could be.
It could be.
So it's Man's Like Binker and Golden in here. And yeah. Well, what can we say? You guys have been together for some time now, haven't you? Playing in various aggregations and bands. And I think this is pretty much the fruits of you guys just jamming and sort of warming up together and kind of spontaneous ideas. Is that how it works?
Yeah, I guess, like you said, we've been playing together for a long time. Not necessarily in a duo format, but we've been wanting to do it for a long time. And even the gigs where we have been booked as a quartet, it always ends up at some point like me and Bink clashing duo in some way, shape or form. So over the years, we've been talking about, yeah, we should do something duo. And then as time's progressed, we've got the album now, and that's where we are.
And that was Moses who's talking there, by the way, who's the drummer. And Binker Golding is with us, of course, on saxophone. And the duo thing, I mean, you know, albeit for a sort of somewhat slightly informed radio presenter to suggest that, it really reminds me of the kind of Coltrane and Rashid Ali kind of combination, just drums and saxophone. Do you ever get that comparison? And do you like it, or do you play it down, or how does it work?
Kind of, to some degree, you like it because they're heroes of ours. And there's another, at least one other quite well-known jazz tenor and drums album by Dewey Redman and Ed Blackwell called Red and Black, and we love that album as well. But yeah, we don't mind being, you know, being compared and whatnot, but it kind of, to some degree, it sort of gets on my nerves in a way, in the sense that, like, jazz fans, they always love to compare you to things that have gone in the past. That's like their first port of call. They always say, oh, well, they like try and pigeonhole you and things like this. So there is a certain sense of happiness when people say that, because we love those people. But at the same time, I'd love to make something where we break away from that, and they're like, well, we don't know what to say anymore, we don't know how to pigeonhole this. And so they're at a loose end. I'd like to put them in that position for once. Jazz fans, they love comparisons, man. They live for comparisons.
It's a sort of backhanded compliment, isn't it?
We take it as a compliment, you know? Take it as a compliment, for real.
And the improv side of the music, I mean, how far can you go with this? We were just joking about Stormzy, the MC, having a burger named after him at a famous burger joint. Have you ever considered, like, maybe getting together with one of these grime MCs and really pushing this thing out into the stratosphere?
Considering it to a degree. I mean me and Binker are massively into grime, but also all sorts of other music, and we do definitely want to branch out and get other things involved in it. I mean, you sort of spoke about the vernacular of the album. We just wanted to write music that reflected both of us and where we've come from. Binker's from Tottenham and I'm from Catford, you know, the north south thing.
South north thing.
Stormzy and JME, you know. So definitely, I mean, we're into so much, we'd be missing an opportunity if we weren't looking to collaborate, really.
I think if we could find an MC that was kind of on a similar page, in the sense they weren't afraid of improvisation and they weren't afraid of things being, you know, too polished all the time, in a kind of, like, you know, in the way that pop music is production polished, you know what I mean? Yeah. If they could get to that acoustic sort of level and do something improvised, then
freestyler,
then I think it's, you know, it's completely possible. We've talked about it a lot, actually. We're talking about a lot of collaborations at the moment, and we've actually got on the got the first step of our collaboration system going with Sarafi Koa, a tabla player. So we're collaborating with him at the moment, and we're seeing where that's going to go.
Using the vernacular, though, you know, the album's Dem Ones, that was Man Like GP. I think your Twitter, Binker, was it?
That one up.
Man Like Binks. I guess it, by default, it kind of must draw in a younger audience who find it slightly more interesting than, say, you know, seeing some reference to the blues on it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were very conscious of that prior to. I think the hardest part about making this album was the album cover, like deciding. You know, we knew what we wanted to do
for ages with the label as well. That was the only time anyone disagreed with anything.
Was
with the album cover.
What did they want you in, suits and ties and stuff? And
It wasn't. I mean, it's not that they were saying that, but it was just. Yeah, it was just, that was the hardest thing to go into. It would be quite. quite, I don't even know.
Yeah, it really went left and right. But we eventually settled on something that everyone was happy with, actually.
Yeah.
And everyone felt was quite natural. But with the vernacular of it, I mean, we were just basically just trying to be ourselves, really. I mean, we actually genuinely do talk like that. If I had to go into like a, you know, when I'm in an academic situation, I mean, we were in my old university yesterday, or no, the Monday. We were in Middlesex University and we did a lecture on jazz there and we did some playing. And it's not like I'm going to come there and start speaking in all of that vernacular full on. There's probably about six people there that would actually know what I was saying.
Fam,
do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, look, fam, when you play, you know, 2-5-1, you've got to like, nah, blood, don't be, you can't, you know what I mean? You've got to know when to speak another language and when not to. But with that album, yeah, we thought there's no harm in just telling it like it is, whatever. We use these words, we talk in this way. So, you know, that's what jazz musicians did back in the day anyway. Do you know what I mean? They had their own vernacular that invited some people into it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They had ways of speaking, you know what I mean? So we're just basically carrying on that tradition but being real to it, rather than saying, you know, using like all the old all the old phrases from New York and from Chicago and whatnot.
Well, let's play another one from the album, and this is No Long Tings.
We'll be right back.
Longtings, Binker and Moses here on The Blueprint. Also, strange enough, though, that is one of the longer tracks on the album.
Yeah, ironically.
Well,
it wasn't a long thing, though,
So when you went into the studio, did you go in with some preconceived ideas and sort of structures, or did you purely improvise the whole thing?
No, we went in, every tune has, at least to us, a kind of framework or a skeleton that we know we you know, what to kind of improvise on. It's not necessarily a 32-bar AABA structure, but it might be a very short, loose idea that bases the sort of mood or the vibe or the tone of the track. And that's kind of what we did. We had a couple sessions maybe before the album, just got together and played and kind of structured what we want to record. But then when we went in, I think the session was only about 4 hours,
something like that.
Yeah, really short, really quick, mostly first, second takes, and it wasn't a long thing.
Yeah. Like when you've got two people that work together a lot, you know, you don't need too much studio time if you practice and you do some rehearsal and all that sort of thing. So people are often like, oh my God, man, how can you make an album in half a day? Yeah. But I mean, it's not like, you know, this isn't Bruce Springsteen born in the USA, you know what I mean? It takes a year and a half in production, you know. We've been working out the material for quite a long time. But yeah, the tunes and whatnot is basically just like very small ideas, what we would probably refer to as fragments, really. Fragments of ideas, so that the improvisation is free to kind of do what it wants. So,
and is that the same for when you do your live shows as well, or do you just get up there and just go, let's just go for it? Yeah.
It's a combination of the two. So, I mean, we're working on new material at the moment, but last year when we were playing all the material from the old album, or from the album, we basically took that material, made it into a suite, more or less, and an uninterrupted suite for about an hour. So we knew, like, what track and when, but we didn't know how we were going to get into it, how we were going to end it, and how it's going to cross over into the next tune and things like that. So it kept it spontaneous, but if you'd heard the album, you'd be able to say, oh, now they're playing that, you know, but you just didn't know where it was going to come, and, yeah, it's quite fluid.
And let's talk awards, because there you were, possibly just minding your own business, getting into your murky burger, your Stormzy murky burger, and then the phone call comes in and says, guess what, guys, you've been nominated for a MOBO.
Yeah.
That must have slightly took you by surprise, because improv jazz never normally makes it to the MOBOs, to be fair. And then the three of us were at this separate event that they do the handouts for the, you know, the sort of side issues, if you like, jazz, R&B and soul, ironically. And blow me away, you won. I mean, how did you feel at the time?
Crazy.
It was good, I mean, at first, I'll tell it like it is, you know what I mean? At first, I was a bit vexed, because when we just were nominated and they told us where it was going to be in this, because they'd split up the awards.
Yeah.
And so the real, the so-called real, in inverted commas, awards was up in Leeds or whatever, and then they had the one for jazz, soul, and I think R&B. It was, wasn't it, in London. And I was like, man, that is like the three categories of like the blackest music, you know what I mean? You've got the word black in your award thing and you're sidelining everybody and whatnot. But then when I actually got to the awards thing, I was like, this is all right, man. They did it quite well and stuff. I felt it made sense. I still felt they played us a bit badly, in the sense there was no TV airtime and all that sort of thing, and there was no free drinks. So I was a bit vexed. Got to say, I hope the Jazz FM Awards have got some free drinks, you know what I mean? But...
don't worry about that.
But then, yeah, they did the actual awards thing. We won and stuff, and I was like... This is wicked, you know what I mean? I mean, had we not won, I would have walked away from it screwing, to be honest. I was like, okay, no free drinks and we don't even get to go to the real thing. I would have been absolutely screwing and they would have known about it. But to be honest, yeah, we won. I was over the moon, man. I still am about that. I never thought we were going to win it at all. It was a shock. It was a shock to get nominated for it, let alone win it. It was...
great visibility from it as well.
Yeah.
And the album, I mean, you guys... the technicality of this is you guys went in the studio and recorded this thing, and it's been put out on vinyl, you know, which, you know, audiophiles love vinyl, but it's been amazing, the success of the sale of this album. £24 a throw on solid vinyl, and they've run out, and they've got to do about 1,000 more. I mean, are you seeing buckets of ducats here? What's the deal? Man, making money out of this thing now?
The house is paid for, of course. A6 is in the garage, you know what I mean? So it's all good. The financial side. You want to talk finance specifically? I mean,
not specifically with a jazz musician, no. But I mean, is it? I mean, it's something, isn't it, to have your product on a physical product?
It's a great response. Really great response, really happy with it.
I mean, all over Twitter I get acts from everywhere, like this, the guys in Japan with like our records, or do you know what I mean, or in America. I think it's just gone over to America in like Amoeba and massive stores, and it's quite crazy, you know, to see them ones
in Amoeba,
do you know what I mean? And
big store.
Also, you know, my friends stumbling across it in like Rye Wax in Peckham and telling me, "Oh, I've seen your album." And I'm
more
like,
importantly, more in Rye Wax,
London,
New York, Peckham, Paris, New York, Peckham.
So we're looking forward to having you at the Jazz FM Awards, where you have picked up two nominations: Breakthrough Act, kind of makes sense.
We're very happy about that,
and even Best UK Jazz Act as well, which is open for a public vote. So if you're listening now and you're thinking, "I like these guys, I like the fire in their music, I like the cut of their jib," jump up on there and make your vote for the Jazz FM Awards. Other artists are available for your vote as well, I might say. And we can see you live at Jazz Refresh March 31st. That's still on?
Yeah, that's still on. It's our spiritual home, I suppose. That was the first gig we
did,
right?
Yeah, I think so. They're the first people that were brave enough to put us up, and they still do. And we're always happy to go back there, so we'll be there then, yeah.
So Mau, Portobello Road in London. And Love Supreme Festival, of course. Can't forget that. Jazz FM's very own. Yeah. 3rd of July, I believe you guys are on up there.
Yeah, that's
going to be special. Bringing the heat and the improv, so come and join in for that. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Wish you the best with the awards and everything
else
that's happening.
Much.
And can you allude to what's next for you guys? What you got planned?
Yeah, I mean, like we sort of mentioned collaborations earlier. We're working with Sarafi Kowa a lot, a tabla player, and we're just planning music for the next album. We're sort of there, but there's some more. I won't give away
more
to come in terms of collaborations, but we want to make something big and
nice. And Moses, you got your Exodus project as well on the side, which is killing.
Oh man, thank you.
You've also played, so good on you. Are you guys still playing with Zara McFarlane as
well? Yeah, we are. Yeah, very much. We've got to go to Grenada this year with her, and Mexico as well.
I know.
Bummer.
Hard life, right?
A few other things in the UK. very much so. Yeah, Zara's doing very well, and we always enjoy playing with her band. Yeah, it's great.
All right. That's some Oboe Award winning Best Jazz Act, and hopefully Jazz FM as well. Binker and Moses here on The Blueprint. We'll finish up with Black Ave Maria. Cheers for coming by, guys.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
saxophonist Binker Golding and drummer Moses Boyd. Binker and Moses, Black Ave Maria. It's on the album Them Ones. Great fun having them here on The Blueprint. Catch the fire of Binker and Moses on stage at the Fourth Love Supreme Festival coming up from the 1st to the 3rd of July, once again in Glynde. Looking forward to that. All the details and tickets at lovesupremefestival.com.